We're suggesting, again, $10 a month. It can easily come out of your checking account. You won't even notice it after a while, or in your credit card. This is such a key contribution. I mentioned earlier that the $120 membership or $10 a month supports 1 week's worth of KBOO news in depth. It also engages community members in creative sound expressions with KBOO's introductory audio production class. And Lenita, that's one of the classes I enjoy teaching and would look forward to our members coming down and participating.
I enjoy it. I'm so enamored that you teach that. I'm a tech geek, and audio was my first love. I remember audio when it was reel-to-reel, grease pencil, and a razor blade. I really dig that time in audio, but everything is now so nonlinear, and it's in this nonlinear world that we ask you to contribute. 877-500-5266.
Lenita, let's say it together. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast provided by Angel's Donuts and Ice Cream, located at 2805 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland, serving donuts and ice cream every day. Lunch provided by Scotty's Pizza Parlor, located at 2128 Southeast Division Street in the Hosford Abernathy neighborhood of Portland, serving pizza, desserts, and more. Scotty's is open every day from 11:30 to 9 p.m. Dinner provided by Joe Rotisserie and Bar, located in the Alphabet District at 715 Northwest 23rd Ave. Serving new American dishes, Joe's provides live jazz music to dine to. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The KBOO Board of Directors will meet twice in September. The first meeting is Monday, September 17th at 6 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street in Portland. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032.
This is Bill McKibben coming at you on KBOO Portland, Oregon.
This is Press Watch, your weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Tag, you're it. If you're listening to me on your cell phone on the bus right now, then you have to pull up kboo.fm and tag 10 bucks. You have to. Because now on today's Press Watch, we've got a lot to get through. A lot of news. The Union of Concerned Scientists take on Hurricane Florence. The story of two of the nukes facing Florence. There's more than two of them. And two stories of comfortable denial. The deliberate racist hell of ICE detention and the legitimization process for the U.S.-Saudi war on Yemen. But first, let's start with some cheery news from Radio Havana, Cuba. Former U.S. President Richard Nixon's top advisor in the Watergate scandal, Andrew Hall, has said that President Donald Trump will undoubtedly be impeached. That's a quote. Hall made the remarks in a recent interview with The Independent, where he said he is watching history repeat itself with Trump as more of his aides get nabbed in special counsel Robert Mueller's probe into the Russian election interference in the 2016 presidential election. He told the newspaper, quote, "The cover-up is always worse than the crime, and this one is very shady. We have a sitting president who will undoubtedly be impeached," end quote. Hall added, quote, "The idea to prepare a witness in and of itself is a good idea, but the fact that he is incapable of being truthful throughout the entire exam is pretty scary. It raises a whole lot of issues," he said. "If a lawyer knows his client is not telling the truth, he can't sit by and let that happen. He can't participate, and he must disassociate himself with that activity. Otherwise, they will lose their license for facilitating perjury," end quote. In his interview with The Independent, Hall said that, quote, "November elections have an enormous impact on how this plays out. If the Democrats take the Senate or enough Republicans switch over, there will be a successful impeachment," end quote. Despite an apparent reluctance between Democratic leaders for an impeachment before the November 6th election, and why is that? Returning to the text, several Democrats, such as Representative Al Green, have been filing articles of impeachment. The possibility of an impeachment increased last month after the Republican president's longtime personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, pleaded guilty to charges of bank fraud, tax fraud, and violations of election campaign finance laws. Cohen's campaign finance laws violations include paying hush money to women who Trump had affairs with prior to the 2016 presidential campaign. That's from Radio Havana. Following Cohen's confessions, Representative Green warned Trump that the countdown to impeachment had already started. Trump found himself another step closer to possible impeachment. Doesn't that feel good to hear that word? Impeachment. Yes, impeachment. After his former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, was found guilty of eight charges by a federal jury in Virginia, including bank fraud, tax fraud, and failure to report a foreign bank account. This is Press Watch. You're listening to KBOO Portland. We need to raise $3,000 in 1 hour. $3,000, 1 hour, 1 hour, $3,000. Now, I'm making Pledge Central look around like, is that the goal? No, I'm just saying that's the goal. And I'm saying that because it's happened before and we can do it again. Deliberate reference to Second World War. $3,000 in 1 hour? Hell yes. 877-500-5266. Let me talk with Membership Central, just for a moment there. Hi there. Can you hear me? Can you hear me over there?
Hi, Teresa. We can hear you.
Coming in.
Yes,
all right.
The
hydraulic clamp slides in. All right. Can we raise $3,000? Can we?
It's up to our listeners. I think our listeners will step up to the challenge.
Well, of course we can, then.
I think there's no question about it. The other morning, Joe managed to raise, I think it was Joe and Linda together, managed to raise $2,400 in 1 hour. So $3,000 is absolutely not out of the question. We just need our members to call us, 877-500-5266, or do it online at kboo.fm.
We just need 10 people to take us up on the hoodie challenge. That's a $300 a year contribution.
Ooh, that would do it.
Yep. 10 of you getting that hoodie, and as Lenita Duke was saying earlier, we are size positive. We've got all sizes up to 4XL in the hoodie.
My size has been getting more positive by the year.
It is definite hoodie weather out there. This is the time you want your KBOO hoodie. You want to wear that around town, proudly show it. It's actually like a kind of armor against fascism when you wear the hoodie. And
that's right, that red star just kind of makes it bounce off.
That's Boing. Right, it's your safety shield, and it also shows your neighbors that you're committed to your community radio station, KBOO. So hopefully, I think we may have our first hoodie purchaser and new member in the background. I hear
always
the phone's ringing.
So exciting to hear the phone ring. All right, so
the
I'm
phone
gonna...
number though.
Oh yes,
because,
the phone number,
because
please.
In order to get it to ring, you got to know the number, and you got to pull over, or you got to get, you know, just pause what you're doing and punch that into your little device. 877-500-5266. It's 877-500-KBOO. Just keep that number in your head for a moment while you step out from what you're doing. 877-500-KBOO. Do it right now.
Thanks so much. Okay, just to get things started, I appreciate y'all coming in a little earlier than we were anticipating, but that's what this show is going to be about. $3,000, 1 hour. I put it up on Twitter. I put it on Facebook, and I really mean to do it. $3,000, 1 hour. It gets everyone fired up, so I want you to call in. Now, I said I was going to talk about Hurricane Florence from the perspective of the Union of Concerned Scientists, but first, the latest information from the National Hurricane Center, which has not suffered the the degree of corruption from the Trump administration, probably just because he hasn't thought about it, hasn't noticed it. And they still do good hurricane reports. And so the latest report, I think it's number 57 on Florence. It is currently approaching the Gulf Stream current, and the hurricane is forecast to move over warmer and deeper waters in 6 to 12 hours, which could allow for some slight strengthening. Just prior to landfall in about 24 hours, Florence is expected to weaken some due to upwelling of the shallow coastal waters. After landfall occurs, rapid weaning of the strong inner core wind field is expected due to land interaction and Florence's slow forward speed of 5 knots or less. However, intense rain bands are expected to develop over the Atlantic waters and keep moving along the coast and inland, likely producing strong wind gusts through Saturday night. And when they're talking about wind gusts, they're talking about 130 miles an hour so far. And there's also something about the way that they have phrased this. They're cautious. They're scientists. They don't say things that they can't be absolutely certain about, but they will sometimes kind of hint at you. And that's why I think they started off with the phrase, Florence is currently approaching the Gulf Stream current. Those waters are warmer than they have been. We're talking global warming warm. And I would like to bet you if, let's see, the parameters are, I have to know your face, and this has to be within my budget for this particular product. I would like to bet you a Rainier Pounder that Florence is going to strengthen considerably in the next 6 hours. That's what they're hinting at, in my opinion. What they wrote, though, is aircraft and satellite wind data show that Florence remains a large hurricane. Life-threatening storm surge, heavy rainfall, and damaging wind will cover a large area, regardless of exactly where the center of Florence moves. Key messages, number one, life-threatening storm surge now highly likely along portions of the coastline of South Carolina and North Carolina. Storm surge warning is in effect for a portion of that area. Second, life-threatening catastrophic flash flooding and prolonged significant river flooding are likely over portions of the Carolinas and the southern and central Appalachians through early next week. As Florence is expected to slow down, we're talking Hurricane Harvey style, as it approaches the coast and moves inland. And it's going very slowly right now. Returning to the NHC number 3, damaging hurricane force winds are likely along portions of the coast of South Carolina and North Carolina as soon as this evening, and a hurricane warning is in effect. And that's just as of this last notice, and I'll get to why that's important in just a moment. And fourth, large swells affecting Bermuda, portions of the U.S. East Coast and northwestern and central Bahamas will continue this week, resulting in life-threatening surf and rip currents. By the way, if you're wondering how Trump is dealing with the reports of nearly 3,000 people dying in Puerto Rico from last year's hurricane and his paper towel-throwing response, well, it's this. He just simply says they didn't die. Didn't happen. Maybe they're hiding in a fake news bunker somewhere. All right, now this article by Christy Dahl is in Union of Concerned Scientists, UCSUSA.org. Four things you should know that your meteorologist is truly too busy to tell you. She writes, Florence, like any hurricane, is a fearsome storm, but the direction and northward extent of Florence's path make it unusual. And the atmospheric and oceanic conditions in which Florence is brewing are contributing to the storm's outsized strength for its location. With that in mind, let's take a look at some of the climate dynamics that make Florence stand out amid our historical knowledge of Atlantic hurricanes. One, Florence's path is unusual in a way that's similar to Sandy's Atlantic hurricanes. It tends to develop off the coast of Africa, then move in a north-northwest direction. By the time they reach the position Florence was in a couple of days ago, they tend to take a hard right turn toward the north and northeast. Staying well, I'm going to move some 20th century paper out of the way here, staying well away from the U.S. In fact, as reported by Brian McNulty and the Washington Post, of the nearly 80 recorded storms that passed within 200 nautical miles of Florence's position on Friday, none made landfall on the U.S. coast. Florence's path, however, has been blocked by a ridge of high pressure in the atmosphere. Skipping ahead, and I'm going to skip ahead a lot on this article, which you can find at Union of Concerned Scientists. A ridge of high pressure along the northeast coast of North America has prevented it from making the typical northward turn. 6 years ago, when Sandy slammed into the coast of New Jersey, a blocking ridge over the eastern half of northern North America prevented Sandy from moving north. Never before, she writes, have we seen a hurricane take such a perpendicular path towards the mid-Atlantic coastline. One important difference between the paths of Sandy and Florence, however, is that during Sandy, The blocking ridge also prevented the low-pressure storm system coming from the west from moving north. So the two storms collided, hence the Superstorm Sandy moniker. Number two, major hurricanes this far north are rare. Southeast U.S. is no stranger to hurricanes. The Carolinas have experienced dozens of hurricanes since modern record keeping began in 1851. The vast majority of these hurricanes have been Category 1 storms. Together, the Carolinas have only been hit three times by a Category 4 storm or above. The last time North Carolina was hit by a Category 4 storm was over 60 years ago. Why is this? She writes, hurricanes require a supply of fuel in the form of warm sea surface temperatures. Historically, as storms moved northward, they did so closer to the central Atlantic, and they encountered progressively cooler temperatures and weakened. Not so with Florence. While temperatures off the coast of Africa, where most Atlantic hurricanes develop, are running cooler than average right now, Florence Path, determined largely by the blocking ridge that we mentioned just a moment ago, has taken it westward into a wide swath of the Atlantic, where temperatures are running 2 to 3 degrees centigrade above normal. Because of that ridge, even as Florence latitude increases, it's projected to stay within a zone of warm temperatures that will allow Florence to stay strong and indeed strengthen as it churns its way towards the coast. And I was just talking about that. It's 9:15. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I insist that you help us raise $3,000 in 1 hour. $3,000 in 1 hour. That's our goal right now. And I very much want for you to be a part of it. I want you to have that hoodie. I want you to contribute whatever you can. If you've been a sustaining member of KBOO for many years, if your situation has improved, then I would like to ask you to consider what we are facing these days and how important community radio has become. Community radio is now a community web presence. And we are increasing that. We intend to increase it further. We just added a text service for the news. And things are going to change. Things are going to keep changing because the times have become well Trumpian. And I think that you've been wondering how you can resist the fascistization of the United States. Well, one good way to do it is to have a community radio station with its beating heart transmitting at 25,000 watts out into Cascadia, using the World Wide Web to transmit to the world and to get these ideas and this heart and our concern and our community attitude out there where people can respond to it and develop it and fight back against Trumpism and create a better world. You know, that's what it's always been about. We were here, we were broadcasting against the Vietnam War. 50 years we've been here, and it's up to you to keep it going. And it really comes down to that. 877-500-5266, KBOO.FM, 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266. Why not increase your monthly donation to that $300 level, $300 a year, so you can get yourself a hoodie? We have your size. Wearing the hoodie will increase visibility for the station, and that's just part of our strategy. It's at least tripartite. We're present on the web, we're present on the air, and we needed to be present publicly, too. It really helps to see that bumper sticker. If you join, you'll get a bumper sticker. That helps. I want you to put that bumper sticker on your car or on your computer, on your bicycle. And this is the time, 877-500-5266. Once again, I turn to Membership Central and ask for help. 3,000 in 1 hour, 3,000 in 1 hour. And who's out there? Who's waiting at?
It's Jenka and Ray, we're here.
It's Jenka, and poof, you're in there.
The magic of electronics, huh?
Yeah.
So anyhow, picking up where you left off, I'm going to start with the phone number, 877-500-5266. And I also want to take a moment and thank you, Teresa. It's a tremendous job you do every week with Press Watch. And now I know you're actively involved with the news. And you're an example of the kind of contribution that volunteer members here at KBOO make to keep you informed and make sure you're aware of the critical details, not just the surface skimming of the news that you might get from commercial TV.
Thanks, Ray. That means a lot coming from you.
And I mean it. And I think our members all and our listeners all recognize that, Teresa. And this is why I'm going to take this opportunity to reinforce your request to go for $3,000 this hour. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, and make that $25 a month gesture which will come to $300 a year, and earn yourself the KBOO hoodie. I keep referring to it as the highly fashionable. It is, but more importantly, it's highly functional, and it gets the message out to your friends, your neighbors, your family, that you are committed to your community radio station. You want your voice heard, and you want to make sure that we continue to get this information out. 877-500-5266 is the number. KBOO.FM online is the way to do it that way.
It's a frightening prospect to think of a radio dial without KBOO, to think of pulling out your phone and not being able to listen to live radio on KBOO, and to be able to then connect to the person that you know is in the air room type of emergency, like we're hearing about the disaster that is impending right now in North Carolina, and that type of situation, that's where community radio really shines. And it's really, really important that we have people in the studio volunteering 24/7. And it has happened on multiple occasions where people are unable to get through to their local radio station. Rumors are flying, not able to find out what's really going on because those stations had turned into automation. Here at Portland, we are a brick and mortar studio. We have a landline telephone, and even in times of emergency, we are trying to improve our disaster preparedness plan. So that we can be there for you, whatever happens. And even when we're under attack, when huge media conglomerates try to change the way the internet works so that the search engines no longer find small scrappy news sites like KBOO.
That's a serious thing.
We're it here is. And we are staying strong, and we're strong because of you. And it is absolutely essential for you to contribute, because that makes KBOO strong and sustainable and resilient over these times. So KBOO's been there for you. We're asking you to be there for KBOO. 877-500-5266. Again, 877-500-KBOO, and online KBOO.FM, or you can come in and see our brick and mortar studio and meet our volunteers and get a tour at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We love to see you.
And Jenka and Teresa, I think we've got some members who are showing their support for the continued health of KBOO, and
all
probably
right.
for Press Watch.
Is it cowbell time?
Yeah, it's cowbell time. We always look forward to this. Aaron from Gladstone renewed. Chris from McMinnville renewed. And Lori and David renewed and increased their monthly contribution.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we thank you so much for showing your support for Teresa, for KBOO's Press Watch, and for all of the communications and public affairs programming and news programming that comes out of KBOO to keep you informed. So again, the number is 877-500-5266. You may have just heard the phone ringing in the background, but we have a couple other people waiting to pick up their phone call. So please, 877-500-5266 or online at KBOO.FM and click on that red donate button.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Jenka. I'm going to now go on for quite some minutes about the news you're not supposed to know. And so you may think to yourself, well, I want that information, so I won't call now. But that's not really necessary, because we have the automatic uploading at KBOO.FM. So if you miss something, you can get it. Sometimes it takes a half hour or so for it to load up to the website, but it'll be there during the day, and you can check it out later. That's at KBOO.FM. Okay, $3,000 in 1 hour. Let's go. Let's go and make this happen. I think you can tell listening to us that we believe in what we're doing. And it's exciting. It's a blast doing KBOO. I've had the honor and the opportunity of seeing some new people coming into the news department just over the last couple of weeks. And it's just terrific. We're getting all these brilliant people in. So we're going to have to change a little bit the way that we do things. We're going to have to schedule things a little bit better, but this means that we're going to have more actual audio self-generated news reports from KBOO. It means more and better news, basically, when you get right down to it. More staff power is going to result in better news, and I'm so excited about it. Please be a part of it. 877-500 KBOO 877-500-5266. Now, I said that there are four parts to this article from Union of Concerned Scientists. The second one is that major hurricanes this far north are rare. And they go on to say that the increasing warmth in the ocean are having its effect. We know that warmer temperatures help to fuel hurricanes and that such conditions are more likely to occur in a warming world. The third part, the expected storm surge will be amplified by higher average sea levels. The National Hurricane Center is expected to issue storm surge warnings today, but residents are already being cautioned that Florence storm surge could be life-threatening. Storm surge is driven by several factors, but its primary driver is wind. As Florence makes its way over more than 1,000 miles of ocean, its winds push surface water towards the coast. The water piles up and creates a surge. While some storms, they write, like Harvey, cause most of their flooding through intense rainfall, for others, like Sandy, storm surge is the primary cause of flooding. And skipping ahead, the last time a Category 4 hurricane made landfall in North Carolina was in 1954. Since then, sea level along the coast of the Carolinas has risen roughly 8 inches. That rise is already playing out in the form of increasingly frequent high tide flooding in the region. Charleston, for example, has experienced more than a quadrupling in the number of high tide flooding events just since the 1970s, and when it comes to storm surge, higher sea levels make for larger, far-reaching surges. And you'll see why this is important in this particular area in just a moment. You're listening to KBOO Portland, it's 925. Given, they write, that Florence is moving relatively slowly and is predicted to stall over the southeast or mid-Atlantic, the storm will likely remain along the coast during at least one high tide cycle. The timing of landfall relative to high tide remains to be seen, but the current state of sea level along the Carolina coast has the potential to add more height to the storm surge, which allows it to reach further inland than a storm like Florence would have caused historically. Fourth, in a warmer world, the atmosphere can hold more moisture, and there is increased potential for extreme rainfall during storms. And just speaking for myself, more moisture and therefore more heat, more mass, more heat. Like the rest of the U.S., since the late 1950s, the Southeast has experienced a dramatic increase in the percentage of rain that falls during the heaviest events. This trend has been linked to human-caused climate change because warmer air holds more moisture. And in the case of Hurricane Harvey, human-caused warming was found to have made the storm's record-breaking rainfall 3 times more likely and 15% more intense. With Florence path through very warm waters, we can expect a lot of moisture with this storm. And skipping ahead, just as when Hurricane Matthew hit the region in 2016, the extreme precipitation, expected during Hurricane Florence will be falling on already saturated ground. Stream gauges in inland areas of North Carolina and Virginia, where Florence could stall, are recording stream flow much above normal. The combination of saturated soil and rivers, heavy rainfall, and elevated sea levels due to long-term sea level rise and storm surge could make it very difficult for floodwaters to drain after the storm has passed. Now, I'm passing all this along because I want to make the point that as a long-term watcher of and broadcaster about global warming, I want to say this is it. It's happening. And there's still things we can do one way or another. If there's a we, there's not much that we can do collectively at the national level with Trump in the way. And so I was pretty excited to talk about him possibly being impeached. Of course, that means in terms of actually getting things done, we'll probably have to also get rid of Pence, perhaps in the same way, who knows. But at least the process seems to be ready to start. Exciting. You're listening to Community Radio, of course, where we actually talk about this sort of thing. The time is 9:28. The number to call is 877-500-5266. In another 10 minutes, I'm going to come out and fundraise real, real hard, because I want to raise $3,000 in 1 hour, and I know that you can do it. But I'm going to keep mentioning the number, 877-500-KABU, 877-500-5266. Wouldn't hurt if you have tagged us online just to call us up and tell us that you did so, because every time that phone rings, it fires us up, man. We love it. Think about your community. Think about what you want in life. Think about the direction you want to go. KBOO 877-500-5266. Are you part of it? Now, skipping ahead on the article From the Union of Concerned Scientists, people talk about the calm before the storm, and if we do things well, there will indeed be an eerie quiet along much of the southeast of the United States tonight. In the meantime, as we scramble, hunker down, and prepare to ride out the latest in a terrible spate of hurricanes, we also hope that, unlike with Katrina, Sandy, Harvey, and Maria, we don't surface to find our communities fundamentally scarred by this latest in a spate of brutal storms. And I would add to what she wrote, the political aspect, we hope that we don't surface to find the malignant neglect that was applied so viciously to New Orleans and to Puerto Rico. Now, I want to add to this a reporting. Turning to The Guardian in London, which I have often commented is absolutely lousy when it comes to U.S. and British imperialism, but really good at criticizing U.S. society. Oliver Laughlin writes, a few thousand feet between Godwin Vicky's trailer home, I'll bet it's Vicky Godwin, concealed behind thick forest is a dump of coal ash weighing over 2 million tons. I wish it weren't there, said the 62-year-old as her dog yapped by the plywood boards waiting to be nailed to the windows. And I just had to read that as it was written because it was hilarious and a mistake that I don't often find in The Guardian. Now, I'd yap too if I was waiting to be nailed to a window. But of course, what he really meant was her dog yapped by the plywood boards as they were waiting to be nailed to windows. She's quoted saying, we don't know what to expect, especially this time with all the rain, end quote. The ash is a byproduct of the now defunct Weatherspoon coal power plant closed in 2011 and just one of more than two dozen ash basins that experts and environmental advocates warn could do catastrophic damage when Hurricane Florence makes landfall in the coming hours. They contain potentially dangerous levels of mercury, arsenic, and lead, and the collapse or spill of one of these dumps could potentially lead to the contamination of nearby rivers and waterways. The Weatherspoon plant backs straight onto the Lumber River, which supplies water to the entire city. Vicky and her dog will evacuate the area today. She's quoted saying, I ain't sticking around to see what happens, but my husband will be here to watch over the property, end quote. 2 years ago, when Hurricane Matthew hit North Carolina as a Category 1 storm, flooding of a nearby creek in Lumberton flowed into one of the Weatherspoon plant's former cooling ponds. That one did not contain corrosive ash, but at another dump further north near the city of Goldsboro, an unknown amount of ash flowed into the Neuse River after a basin was breached by the hurricane. There's much more to that article at theguardian.co.uk, but I want to turn to an article in the U.S. press. In Fortune magazine, while Hurricane Florence is making a million residents of the southeast face evacuation of their homes, hog farmers are facing a much different kind of evacuation, draining the massive manure lagoons that result from high-density factory farming before the storm floods them out. Now, if you're listening to Democracy Now!, you heard about this. This is a horror that has happened before with hurricanes, and this is a bigger hurricane. I talked before about Matthew. That was a Category 1. This is at least a Category 2, and I am, as I said, betting a Rainier that it's going to be Category 3. The article is written by Glenn Fleischman. I'm not even making that up. What a great name for someone writing an article about pig lagoons. Anyway, industrial-scale pig farms shift hog output into giant pools for management. These lagoons contain the manure and gradually compost them into fertilizer, but they're effectively open-air waste pits, only somewhat secured against flooding. Overflowing or breached lagoons can render drinking water supplies dangerous, cause phosphorus blooms, poison animals in agricultural land, spread farm-related pollutants and toxins like pesticides, fuel residue, and chemical additives. The spills kill wildlife and livestock. Also, it smells terrible. It's this putrid horror, he writes, that North Carolina is faced with as Hurricane Florence barrels its way to the East Coast. The state has about 2,300 industrial pig farms, 9 million hogs. These pigs and other animals produce 10 billion gallons of untreated sewage annually, according to the Environmental Working Group. North Carolina's 100-year flood plains still house 62 industrial hog farms and 30 chicken-raising operations with a combined 532 manure ponds within the floodplain or within 100 feet of it. And I'll turn from that article now, but they are trying. The firms that hold those ponds of poo are trying to drain them, anticipating the rain, but they don't know how much rain or how much they need to drain them, and of course they can't drain them all at once without causing a problem. And speaking of problems, there are the nuclear power plants. There are several in North Carolina, and I decided earlier this week to focus on two of them, and it, just as it happens, these two nuclear power plants are getting a bullseye, just a coincidence. I'm talking about the Brunswick's Brunswick power plants, Unit 1 and Unit 2, vast, ancient power plants built in the 70s, highly radioactive. I called their public affairs office and asked them Monday if they intended to shut down the nuclear power plants, and they responded to the question as if I had asked them if they intended to travel to Mars. In fact, they kept them both at 100% until today, when the Nuclear Regulatory Commission website reports that Unit 1, the oldest, is down to 88%, and Unit 2 is down, no, Unit 2, excuse me, is still at 100%. They don't like to shut them down. They lose money when they're not pumping out the power. Basically, that's what it's about. And they say that they will shut them down when they have hurricane warning. But that specific language, watch and warning, only happens when the scientists at the National Hurricane Center, at the NOAA, are absolutely certain that winds greater than 74 miles per hour will be striking that exact area. And so they haven't issued that warning until today. But we're talking about nuclear power plants, and their vast fuel cores, both of which require a river of water to be run through. You can shut them down, in a sense. You can put in the neutron blockers that stop the reaction, but they're still hot enough to boil a river of water, and they stay that way. And so them starting them, I don't know if they're shutting them down. One's down to 88%. I don't know why, but if they shut them down now and their intake was blocked by silt from this hurricane, it's too late. And I mean like kablooey too late, because these are made by the same company. They are Mark I General Electric reactors, exactly the same as Fukushima, except that Fukushima's were in better shape because they were much newer. These things were built in the 70s. So I've been looking at them, and I'm not the only one. John Murawski wrote in NewsObserver.com, Hurricane Florence is shaping up to be the most powerful storm ever to threaten Duke Energy's 1970s-era Brunswick nuclear plant, a 1,200-acre energy complex sitting in the path of the monster storm. And it will be the first major test of the safeguards installed at the Durer reactor plant, about 30 miles south of Wilmington. That's Wilmington, North Carolina, not Delaware, since the 2011 nuclear disaster at Fukushima Daiichi plant in Japan. Same generation design as the Brunswick plant. 7 years ago, a tsunami swamped Fukushima's emergency backup generators, cutting off power that was needed to pump water to constantly cool the facility's radioactive nuclear fuel. You recall, I just said that that fuel is staying hot whether they shut it off or not, and they haven't shut it off. The loss of power caused nuclear fuel, he writes, to overheat in three reactor cores, triggering hydrogen explosions and spewing radioactivity into the atmosphere. And I want to stop to correct that a bit. It wasn't just hydrogen. That was a bit of a dodge. They were steam explosions. There was hydrogen involved in one of the explosions. It was enough to blast the plants apart and to contaminate the entire area and to contaminate Tokyo to this day. And if you go to Tokyo for the Olympics, you'll be getting a nice little taste of that radioactivity. Brunswick, he writes, is one of about two dozen U.S. reactors that relies on General Electric nuclear technology. Dates back to the 1960s, designed at a time when engineers underestimated the vulnerability of nuclear facilities during natural disasters. Here again, this is an understatement. These old reactors, they have their backup. Perhaps you've heard of the emergency core coolant system, the ECCS system, which may or may not work. It has failed at scale tests before because of steam binding. In other words, too much steam was developed and water couldn't be rushed into the reactors when they overheated. Well, these plants don't even have that. They don't have ECCS. They're too old. So I've been very interested to see what will happen here. The article goes on to talk about wind. Not a problem. Wind's not going to blow down those gigantic casks. That's the wrong word. Those gigantic structures. But there are fuel pools on site that have to be maintained, and the flooding can mess with them. There's backup power through diesel generators, but that's not the main problem. In my mind, I think the main problem is going to be whether the canal that provides the twin rivers that flow through those reactors is going to be blocked by the action of the hurricane, and that we're simply going to have to find out about. But this is the news you're not supposed to know. This is KBOO Portland. And here we take the news seriously because we're community radio. We're here for the community. We're not here to make a profit for someone who lives somewhere else. We're here to do the right thing by you. And that's why you're hearing this sort of information, this sort of reporting right now. And in this case, it isn't just commentary. It is actually reporting because I did call Mary Catherine Green of Duke Energy myself Monday and did a little bit of journalism just to find out. I want you to be a part of this kind of journalism, the kind of journalism that Ray and Jenka do so well. And they're joining me now
at Hello, Teresa.
Membership Central. I said I wanted to raise $3,000. I'm very serious. We're working
our way there, Teresa.
We try to squeeze by with as little as possible here at KBOO. Certainly, that's reflected in the staff salaries. And I want you to turn that around. I want you to take that as a mark of our sincerity, but don't make us do that. Don't make us squeeze by. Don't make us drain our reserves. Instead, become a part of moving forward. Become a part of this new America that we can see, that we want to move towards, this new society that we want to build, that can happen, this better world. Can you be a part of that? Will you move forward with us? 877-500-5266, and Ray and Jenka can tell you more.
Teresa, our members and our listeners can also get in touch at kboo.fm and click on donate in that way. It was interesting, you said earlier in your broadcast that one of the things you like is the news and being involved in KBOO. It's a blast. I would say that's absolutely the truth.
Yeah, it is.
A great learning experience, a great network of people, and an opportunity to kind of become a citizen journalist and contribute to spreading the truth. And you can help us continue to do that by picking up the phone. Give us a call. It's 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. Interesting, when Teresa was talking about the possibilities of overflow from the pig waste pools, I heard what had to be the ultimate spin when it was referred to as hog output. This is the kind of thing that you're not going to hear being generated as original news or original commentary. This is the kind of thing that you're going to hear when you're listening to the mainstream commercial media. Here we give it to you straight. 877-500-5266, online kboo.fm, and hit the donate button. Jenk, I understand we have some folks who've followed the lead.
Yeah, we've got, I think, about 500 in. We're 2,500 to go in the next 20 minutes, so we need a few more of you to pick up those hoodies, that $25 a month contribution to KBOO, and that is 877-500-5266. We've got your size, and that is perfect for a day like today to wear proudly around town your KBOO hoodie and show that you're a major supporter to KBOO Community Radio. We want to thank Stephanie in Oregon City, a renewing member who says KBOO is the pendulum that swings us toward reality. Thank you, Stephanie, for that. I believe that as well. Dana from Packwood, Washington, who gave online, kboo.fm. Real easy to do. Just click that donate. And Todd became a sustaining member. He loves Press Watch, Democracy Now!, and Abe and Joe. Thank you, Todd. We need to learn from history in order to avoid making the same mistakes. And Teresa Mitchell's Press Watch is one of those places that you can learn. Every single week, I tune into Press Watch and learn something new. And I want you to now move from apathy into action. Move from being a passive listener to being an active member and owner of this radio station. Take this into your own hands. Do something active and do something that is not just symbolic, but that is real towards fighting the threat that we face today. Call right now. Whatever the amount is that you choose, it's up to you. But you can put it into your budget and make KBOO a regular part of your monthly giving. 877-500-5266. I know it's a lot to ask. I do it myself. It's the biggest contribution that I make to any organization for sure. But it's worth it because this is the place where all of those organizations come together. This is the mouthpiece, the megaphone here in our community for all of these different causes to have a space on the airwaves that is ours, that is not owned by big corporate conglomerates. And I know that you appreciate the fact that that exists. and that that is thriving after 50 years that we continue to use this model of just asking our listeners, and the listeners come through every single time. And I know that you are a person that really appreciates the content that we have, that you appreciate the news and the talk radio and the music, the independent artists that we have on, and you will support it. And you'll support it maybe $25 a month. And I know that that's a stretch for some people. $5 a month, also very, very doable. And you can get a thank you gift for your $5 a month contribution. But call right now and set it up. It only takes 3 minutes. Our volunteers will walk you through the process. Very, very easy to do. 877-500-5266.
Thank you so much, Jenka. No, go ahead, Ray.
I was going to say, I think Jenka made a really important point there. When you become a member, you become an owner. You have a vote in the direction of KBOO. This is truly a community radio station. It's not corporate owned. It's not being directed out of Sinclair Broadcasting or anything like that. This is your radio station. So follow Jenka's lead. Follow the lead of Dana and Todd and Stephanie and pick up that phone. Give us a call at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
Thank you, Ray. Okay, so I think that I would like to do a slight variation in the fundraising schedule and come out at about 53-54 after, and we'll talk. I want to talk with you, Ray and Jenka, about the journalism that you two have done as well, if you'll think about that. And then we'll fundraise right up to the top of the hour. Once again, if you're just tuning in, this is KBOO Portland. Name of the show is Press Watch. The conceit is the news you're not supposed to know. I know someone on the web has been taking that. It's a tasty little conceit. It's mine, you guys. Let go. I've been using that since the 80s. This is the time to raise the money, $3,000 in 1 hour. We've gotten a great start, $3,000 in 1 hour. I know that we can do it together, and I've been asking you, where do you want to go? Do you want to participate? Do you want to float on the tide of Trumpism, or do you want to row against it? I'd like to suggest that we all row together, that we all move towards a better world, starting with impeachments and hearings and political processes, but there's so much more to be done. And so if you are hesitating, thinking of your budget, I'd like to ask you to make a commitment to actually increase your prosperity. It's very important that you have sufficient, and I feel very comfortable saying that in a nation where 80% of the population does not have sufficient to make a small multi-$1,000 emergency happen, make the recovery of it happen. We're just about all of us in deep. We've got a problem, and it's a huge part of it is that we have not stood up for each other. We haven't even stood up for ourselves. We deserve to have sufficient prosperity. You deserve human rights at the basis, housing. I mean, it shouldn't be a question of whether you're going to have housing. This is something a human society does for itself. But the way things are right now, you have to have sufficient. You have to have a reserve just to guarantee your housing. And it has to be kind of substantial, doesn't it? And I'll bet you don't have it. Well, I'd like to ask you to move towards that for yourself and for everyone else. Wherever you're working right now, your workplace needs to be unionized. It's legal. It's necessary. It's democracy in the workplace. You need to do it. You need to make it happen. Just start thinking about it. Pull it up someplace where you can't be traced easily. Pull up how to form a union. It's as easy as that. How to form a union. Start thinking about it. Because when you do, you're going to start moving towards a living wage and living working conditions. And if you just, even as you move before you actually take that first vote, if you just start getting together with people, I've noticed this personally, start getting together with people and organizing, that makes it sound huge. Just talk with people. Understand that you all deserve to have a calm and a livable situation, and that will start increasing your wage, even if it's just things that you do now that at the end of the day, perhaps, that you don't get paid for right now. That one's easy to fix. You just need to get a little bit of attitude in your workplace. Why don't you do that? And why don't you kick down to KBOO as sort of a guarantee that you're going to do that. Number to call, 877-500-5266, 877-500-KABU, 877-500-5266. Get the hoodie. Get the hoodie if you can. And if you can't quite manage that much, get enough that you become a member and get that bumper sticker, which is super important to moving forward with a community radio station. Visibility, we need that. Now, I'm going to change topics a little bit after giving the admittedly vague warning about the situation with the nuclear power plants in North Carolina. We'll just hope that they'll weather it this time. I would say having running GE Mark I reactors in the face of a hurricane is an extremely bad idea, and I'll leave it at that. Andrew Gumbel has reported in The Guardian from McAllen, Texas, and the title is, after harrowing journeys to the U.S., new arrivals are held in overcrowded and unhygienic conditions, dozens of interviews reveal. And it makes me think that word harrowing. A harrow is a sort of rake. Some of the earliest ones that have been found consists of boards in which pieces of flint have been driven through. When people are extremely cruel to each other in the Middle Ages, they would draw the harrow over a human being. The term harrowing is appropriate sometimes. And that's also true for the word mangled. It comes from an industrial process made for dealing with laundry, and if you got caught in a big machine like that, you'd get mangled. We shouldn't be so cruel to each other. But Andrew Gumbel reports, all day and night they listen to the wailing of hungry children. The hieleras, or iceboxes, asylum seekers said were overcrowded, unhygienic, and prone to outbreaks of vomiting, diarrhea, respiratory infections, and other communicable diseases. Many complained about the cruelty of guards who said they would yell at children, taunt detainees with promises of food that never materialized, and kick people who did not wake up when they were expected to. At regular intervals, day and night, the Martinuses and many others said guards would come banging on the walls and doors and demand that they present themselves for a roll call. If they asked too loudly, or if children were crying, the guards would threaten to turn the air temperature down further. When the Martinuses gathered with fellow detainees to sing hymns and lift their spirits a little, the guards would taunt them or ask aggressively, why did you bother coming here? Why didn't you stay in your country? End quote. This is what fascism looks like. This is what fascism looks like. This is what fascism looks like. Returning to the article, many of these agents were Latinos like us, but they were people without morals, Rafael Martinez said, his voice choking with tears. There we were, caged up like animals, and they were laughing at us, end quote. When three-year-old Jenny Martinez came down with a bad case of the flu, she and her mother were taken to a hospital where they said they were left waiting for hours with nowhere to sit or lie down. A three-year-old, and no blankets before receiving medication. Back in the detention facility, they were put in isolation. Even Rafael was denied access to them. Kimberly noticed that her daughter, like many of the detainees, was growing more jaundiced by the day for lack of vitamins or fresh air or sunshine. The toilets were filthy with no seat covers and no toilet paper. And Kimberly observed that the staff members did not throw out the crinkly blankets when detainees were moved or released. They simply passed them along to new arrivals. This is what fascism looks like. This is why I'm so proud to have been present at the, speaking for myself, at the Occupy ICE encampment next to 4310 Southwest McAdam, where there is a similar dungeon right here in Portland. Proud. And there in the behind the barricades, which are very necessary and which functioned very effectively against enraged ICE and Department of Homeland Security police, soldiers, whatever they were, there was a little booth with a blue tarp and a table, which Tommy provided. Sorry, Tommy, we lost it when we ran out. When we bugged out. And there was a microphone and a system, a battery, a Stinger transmitter, in effect. And we broadcasted, KBOO broadcasted from inside Occupy ICE, the historic Occupy ICE that actually, for a short while, historically kicked out the G-Force people who were staffing the cells and making that dungeon work. They're back now, but they know that they can be removed. They know that things will never be the same as they were before because of Occupy ICE, because of KBOO, because we are not going to take fascism, because we are not only going to draw the line here, we're going to move back the other way, because we know that a better world is possible, because there really are good Americans. There really are people who recognize that the lines have been crossed, that fascism is now here. And like most people, we tend to move when we really have to. You know, that deadline appears, dawn breaks, and you know the exam is due. You start moving because you have to. You're going to find a way. And we are going to find a way to that better world. And that's what KBOO is about. And we're doing it by providing community radio to you, by providing unchained journalism to you, and by actually trying to be better people as community radio broadcasters, as journalists. We are actually trying to make that better world happen, starting with ourselves. And I am so proud to be a part of it. I'm so grateful to have been allowed to be a part of it for all of these years. And so now we come to the moment. I'm trying to raise $3,000 in 1 hour. We've gotten a good start. The number to call, 877-500-5266. The goal for you, please get your hands on one of our hoodies that has such a dynamic and interesting design, colorful. You will enjoy having this hoodie, and it will keep you warm. 877-500-5266, $3,000, 1 hour, 4 minutes remaining, and I think we can do this. Hello, Ray. Hello, Jinka.
Yes, we've only got 4 minutes, so we need those phones to ring off the hook.
Let's do it.
We need people to call the number 877-500-5266. Be a part of this community in action, this community involved in a struggle for justice. This community gives energy for the people who are a part of it, that fully devote themselves to this cause. And we may be exhausted by the end of the day, but we feel energy because we are participating in something real, something that is a broadcasting the voices of protesters, of people who are affecting change on community radio. This is an incredible phenomenon, and we've been able to keep it going since 1968 only because we have community support. Again, the number is 877-500-5266. We are encouraging that $25 a month, but any amount that you give is added into this goal. So call whatever you can give. If you can do the $25 a month, great. If you can do another amount, absolutely wonderful as well. 877-500-5266.
And you know, as one of the relative newcomers here, I want to take a moment and let our members and let our listeners know that not only is this a great community radio station in terms of information, music, public affairs programming, but it is a wonderful training facility, and I think that that's frequently overlooked. I've been a member here or involved in the news and the radio production for only 3 years, so I'm a newcomer compared to Jenka and Teresa and so many others, but it also shows what a welcoming environment and what a great training experience this is. I had no radio knowledge before I came here, so I'm encouraging you folks to support the training that this station does so freely and with so many people. Call 877-500-5266 and help this station continue to produce citizen journalists, musicologists, public affairs people. This is a huge training ground, and a number of people have learned their craft here at KBOO and gone on to other stations where they continue to contribute elsewhere around the country. 877-500-5266. Help us keep the mission of training citizen journalists alive here in Portland. You can also go online, kboo.fm, and click on donate. But whichever way you choose to do it, make sure that these voices continue to proliferate.
You know, we're trying to do what Gandhi said back in the 40s in his struggle for independence there in India, transforming conventional political relationships based on power and self-interest, and making love a way of sharing a common life. And right here, right now at KBOO, we are trying to transform political relationships and trying to turn things around in our society. If you are someone who has benefited from this system and have the privilege to be able to give more, maybe consider divesting from the capitalist economy and investing in the gift economy, investing in your community, investing in KBOO right now. You know, if you are someone who could give a $2,000 contribution, we can offer you dinner and a show with Amy Goodman. We do still have that available to a major donor who's able to do that too. $2,000 gift. Amy Goodman is providing that, and she will sit down with you. You'll have her ear, and you will be able to chat with that heroine of independent media, Amy Goodman. $2,000 contribution for that. If you can do that, $25 a month, we'll get you the KBOO hoodie. You know, we are giving you the opportunity to ensure that in times of dire need, KBOO is there. Real people in our real studio right here at 20 Southeast 8th, providing you verified, fact-checked, credible information with a real landline phone number that you can actually call and talk to a human being.
10 seconds.
877-500-5266. Again, 877-500-KBOO.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Jenka. Thank you so much. Stay tuned, please. Coming up, Air Cascadia, 10:15. It's Flashpoints at 11 between the covers. Words and Pictures at 11, later after that. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, call 877-500-KBOO.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Literary Arts, presenting civil rights activist DeRay McKesson September 20th at Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall, featuring a conversation on culture, social justice, politics, and progress. Tickets and more information available online at literaryarts.org.
KBOO's prize drawing rules. Everyone who donates will be entered into the drive prize drawings. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will not improve an individual's chance for winning. The fall drive prize drawing is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Void where prohibited or restricted by law or regulations. To enter, call 877-500-5266 between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. and provide your name, complete address with zip code, date of birth, and day evening phone numbers with area code. Only one entry per person per household per year will be accepted during the drive drawing period. Entries may be mailed, with the aforementioned information, to KBOO Radio, care of Membership Department, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, postmarked by September 22nd. Incomplete or late entries will not be accepted. Winner will be determined in a random drawing on Thursday, October 4th. Winner will be notified by telephone,